discipline. I don't know about you, but it's kind of built into me when I was little because of the situation in the family. I was raised in a very poor family. And we had a car back when I was 12 years old for the first time. Lived out in the country, then rode bicycle to work about 7 miles one way to Bakery. Worked the night from 7 to 7, as I remember, 6 days a week. And so it wasn't a matter of getting things you wanted, it's getting things you needed. You know, no use in worrying about asking and begging, because it wasn't going to happen. You know, me and Sue met when she was 14, I was 15, and her situation was kind of the same way in ways. Her daddy died when she was over 3 years old. She had one of 7 children. She was the youngest of 7 children. So her daddy died when she was 3. And so her mother then, she's got another sister still at home, 15 years old. And her mother has got to find a job. Got to go to work, which she'd been home over the years, she raised kids. And so we got a... came from different backgrounds in a way, but we had a lot of the same things. So we knew early on, when we married, that whatever we wanted, we weren't going to get. We were going to have to just get things we needed, things like that. So, and you know, I look back now, and I think it was a blessing. Because I believe one of the worst things that we can do for children is give them everything they want. That's right. Because you may hang something around their neck, they never outlive them. Because this whole world ain't that way. That's right. You're not going to always get what you want. You're going to be doing good to get what you need. And so we got to learn to do without, to discipline ourselves, to make ourselves, no, I can't have that. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to go with that. I remember years ago I was in Walmart. These two ladies in front of me was talking. And I guess they knew the same couple. We're going to get married, she said. I said, I told them, don't you go out buying a new trailer. Don't you buy a new trailer, you buy a new trailer. Get you some used furniture. You already both got bills to pay. You both got a car payment. I said, then if you go with that, and you don't like money, said, you're going to get unhappy, and it ain't going to be good for you. I thought to myself, amen. You know, she's giving some good advice. Of course, I guess she's talking to the mother or whoever, somebody else that knew about the family. But it's so important that we learn that. That we discipline ourselves, we make ourselves. Now, Paul talked about himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is such a powerful word he says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, talks about his body. Know ye not that they which run in the race are all this in verse 24, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Strive for the master is temperate in all things, and they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. It's talking about how I live. That's uncertain. So fight I not as one that beat there. In other words, I'm not shadowboxing. I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious about my race with Jesus Christ. And then he says this, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I make my body my slave. You're not going to have it. You're not going to go there. You're not going to do this. This is the way you're going to live, Paul. And this is the way it is. I've got to make my body. You've got to make your body your slave. In Ephesians chapter 5, now a lot of this letter of Ephesians, to me, is about this. About this one I said. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What? Submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Say, well, you don't preach that. That's pretty hard to do. You think you put something out that we can't do? You can't do it. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their husbands in everything. You talk about some discipline, it's going to take some discipline. You're do that. He said, well, he's a good man. No, I didn't say that. Same thing about you being a good man, a good husband. And he goes on to say, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Love your wife. Love your wife. That's right. Always love your wife. Always take care of your wife. Take care of her. Love your wife. That he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he may present to himself a glorious church, and having spot or wrinkle in this thing, that it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You think you do that? Husbands here tonight, you think you love your wife like your own body? Now we know, we honestly love ourselves, don't we? But do we love our wife as much as we love ourselves? Say, yeah, preacher, I do. You wives tonight, you submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. This takes discipline. There's going to be some trying times. There's going to be some testy times. You got to remember what he says. Going over to Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, this is right. Children, do you do that? Do you obey your parents? And then it goes on to say, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise. And as long as they live, as long as you live, they will be your father and mother. And you honor them. You honor your father and mother. That's hard to do. Got old and ornery. Sometimes they talk too much. Honor your father and mother. And it may be well with thee. And thou mayest live long on the earth. And then he goes on to say down in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Brethren, we can be strong in him. We can be in his power, in his mighty power. We can be there. We can work that way. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Do you do that? Do you do a lot of praying? A lot of praying. Pray when you drive. Pray when you're by yourself. Pray when you're with others. Pray without ceasing. Throw the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We see that, don't we? This world is a dark, dark place. A lot of sin, a lot of sin. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole arm of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to be like Paul said. I keep under my body. I bring my body to subjection. I make myself. Paul, you're going to do this. It's right. It's not easy. It's not convenient. But you got to do it. So Paul said what he said. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Do you know the truth? Do you study your Bible? Do you study your Bible? Do you study your Bible? How many of us can say that we do study the Bible? You ever go to bed at night and you think, I can read my Bible? You can't go to sleep till you get up and read you a little bit so you feel better. Feel better then. Your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Doing the right thing. That's what righteousness is. Do you always do the right thing? Always do the right thing. That's going to take discipline. It is. It may cost you some money. It may cost you some time. you'd rather do something else for that time. Righteousness, doing the right thing. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is this gospel that we serve, this Lord that we serve, the gospel from Him, is a gospel of peace. We long for that. Have that peace. You know what the Bible calls it? Peace that passes understanding. The world can't understand it. It passes their understanding. The gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Never lose your faith. Hide your faith tonight. Is it kind of small? Not medium? Is it very, very strong? Very strong. You got that faith within you. You've had it there for years and years. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Here it is right here. You got it in your home, man. I was telling that story that time about Brother Hunt. Brother Hunt told us. Brother Hunt used to come here, Crossroads, years ago. Probably nobody here tonight knows that, but he used to preach here on y'all's decoration thing. I mean, because he preached special on the third Sunday in Carville. Third Sunday in June, as I remember now, I've been wrong. I lose third Sunday in June out there. Is it? Third Sunday night. But he would come here. He told a story one time about going out of town to run a revival and something. Anyway, he was spending the night with these people there. So he asked to borrow their comb. I know that sounds strange because you don't like to borrow their comb. You know, back then, I guess you probably had one comb, and that's it. But he didn't take his comb, did he? So I asked him about the comb. And they said, well, we lost our comb. Brother Hunt, we can't find our comb. Okay. So that night, we're going to read the Bible with them. So they get the Bible down, and guess what they found? Well, there's a comb. There's a comb in the Bible. That's kind of telling you. Gotta tell you. And then he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know what supplication is? It's pleading. Pleading, pleading, pleading. Begging. You ever prayed like that? When you're on your knees and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying so hard. My classmate one time, she was sick. She told me, she said, remember, pray hard for me. Pray hard. Pray hard. Pray. We really say that we discipline ourselves. You know, the Lord said in Luke chapter 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily. It's every day. We take up our cross and follow our Lord. Today we live in a world self-indulgent. That's right. Most people, many people, do what they want to do, young and old, to give themselves over to gratification of the flesh, little restraint, overflowing asylums, jails, hospitals, signs of undisciplined age of people. Send a number of people that walk out. Walk out of school. Walk out of the job. Walk out of marriages. Walk out of church. They don't like it. It happens their lifestyle. They don't stay there. They leave. They get away. we see it in the church today, don't we? Decreased attendance. A lack of knowledge. A lack of involvement in God's Word. Materialism. So much today, even among the members. The world is too much with us. We're too much of the world. We've got to think logically about our life and honestly about our life. Am I really serving my Lord? Is my Lord really satisfied with me and my life? I've been in the church a long time, because I'm 83 years old. 9 years old when I obeyed the gospel. Many, many years ago, 9 years old. And so you think at least by now I'm ready, wouldn't you? If he called me home tonight, I should be ready. I've had plenty of time. He's blessed me so much tremendously. I mean, he's blessed me. And I think you can say he's blessed you. Friends, what am I doing with my life? Do we get outmaneuvered by false teachers? Do we really know what the Bible says? Can we really defend the truth? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 9. Beautiful scripture here. Paul said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge." And then I'll judge. Okay, so the more I have the knowledge of God's word, the better I can make judgments. Right? You can too. It's like your children. Your children go to school, they get knowledge, and they make good judgments. They make good decisions. You want them to. You're thankful for that. That you may approve things that are excellent. Approve things that are excellent. What is excellent? Here again, you've got to have discipline. What is best? Am I able to buy this? Am I able to go here? Am I able to go there? Do I need to go there? Get together with my friends. Remember, you ain't got to go. Always remember that. You don't have to go. It's okay not to go. And let me tell you something else. The person you marry, you better stop, look, and listen. That's right. That's right. Because here's somebody you plan to spend the rest of your life with, till death do us part. And you ask yourself about her or him. What kind of life is he living now? Can't get along with mom and daddy, probably ain't going to get along with you. Didn't get along in school, probably ain't going to get along with you. Won't work, probably won't work even when you marry him. There's a lot to think about, a lot of serious things to think about. Approve things of excellence. That you may be sincere. Sincere. Are we sincere? You as good as your word? You tell me, said Brother Bass, I'll be at your house Monday morning, 6 o'clock, we're going to go fishing. Well, I expect you to be there at 6 o'clock. Yeah, I expect you to be there at 6 o'clock. Will you be there? Yeah, you said, I'll be there. And like I told you, you can believe what I say. Yeah, I'm sincere. I'm sincere about going to church. There on that table. We take a bit every first day of the week. You ever thought about that, how serious that is? Let me read you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I received the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which you was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he break it and said, "Take eat. This is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. It's done in remembrance of me." You do that. You take it. You remember it, the Lord. That's his body. "As the same man also took the cup, which he had, when he had said, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Listen to this man. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself and slowly eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now look at verse 29. He that eateth and drinketh the word, that eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, when that comes around, you got that bread, his body in your mouth, you be very serious about that. That's his body. That's to you, his body. And when that fruit of the vine is on your lips and you drink that, that's his blood. Now notice what he says. For this one cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Oh. Friends, that's scary. Because they don't take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Do you do that? You very careful about that time of your week, through the week. That's the most important thing you do all week. More important than breathing, that's just for your physical body. This is for your spiritual body. Your spiritual life. It takes discipline. Absolutely. You know, 1 Peter 3. Again, it talks to the wives here. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You know what that's saying? He's going to see your life, and you can win him over to the Lord by your life. He sees how you live. They may without the word. They may without being preached to. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now that's a big thing right there. Is that man, even though he's not a Christian, he's watching you. And he sees how you are living. It's very impressive to him. Your conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing a girdle, of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And that which is not corruptible. Look what he says then. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now you sisters, you have that? What kind? A meek and quiet spirit. A meek and quiet spirit. Which is in the sight of God of great price. Take this one. Don't it? It sure does. This book is full of this. Absolutely right. Paul said in Galatians 6 and 14, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, what Paul says about himself. Galatians 6. And 14. But God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I should boast. You've heard people, you know, I'm the boss over there, but that's my company. I won't ever forget this, I don't think, as long as I live. I was probably 20 years old, 19, 20. I remember my man went out to get a haircut, taking a new barber shop. So we said, go get a haircut. This guy comes in. And the barber knows him. He said, I hadn't seen you in a long time. He said, well, I'm working off. He said, oh, you still with so-and-so company? Working for them? He said, well, I don't work anymore. I see this stuff. Now, I don't know what you think. But that kind of thought. You know, you want to let him know you're the boss, okay? You want to let him know you're the boss. I see that it's done. I'm in charge of those men. I don't work anymore. I see this done. And I never forgot that. Say this stuff. What did Paul say here? God forbid that I should glory, except one thing. cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing I can glory about. He goes on to say, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. God forbid I should boast about anything, anybody, except the cross of Jesus Christ, which means the world is a dead thing to me, and I'm a dead man in the world. The world don't care about me no more. They don't want me around the way about me. We don't want Paul here. He's gone off after Jesus Christ. He used to be our friend. But now we don't enjoy his company. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does the world enjoy your company? Do they? Do you enjoy the company of the world? Or have you learned, like Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring my body to subjection. Lest the enemies of my faith loves by myself should be cast away. Paul knew to be lost. And he said, I buffet my body so I won't be lost. And friends, we must buffet our body too so we won't be lost. Make yourself. Make yourself do what is right. Have good thoughts. Have good thoughts. Think good things. You know, that's what he said in Philippians chapter 4. Beautiful verse there. What Paul says. Find a brethren. He tells you what to think about. Okay? This is very helpful. What sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are good report? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. What a wonderful, wonderful words from my beloved brother Paul. What to think about. That's my thoughts for tonight. I hope to encourage you to you. Remember, discipline yourself. Make yourself. Make yourself. Do what's right. As we stand tonight and sing an invitational song, we can sit down out here to be immersed, to be baptized, to be born again. Please come to the front as we stand and sing. And also, if you come, gone away from church, please come back. Please come back tonight. Make things right with God. Which comes together, we stand and we sing.